A generous lawyer, an honest politician, and Santa Claus got in an elevator together. In the middle of the floor, there's a roll of $100 bills. Now, which one of them picked up that money and turned it in? Santa Claus, of course, because the two others don't exist. You know, we can think a lot about Santa Claus in terms of just what he is, in terms of just a distraction to us and what we communicate about him. But today I want to consider, is there a possibility for us to redeem Santa Claus? Is there a way for us to redeem just the whole message that the world has around Christmas? So to give you a little bit of facts about where Santa Claus comes from, there actually is some roots in history, as you may or may not be aware. St. Nicholas, from whom the name Santa Claus comes from, was born in 280 AD in Patera, a city of Lycia in Asia Minor. He was a priest who later became a bishop. He was a wealthy man and was well known for helping people, giving gifts of money and other presents. Now, he would give his gifts at night so as to maintain his anonymity. Now, he eventually died in December 6, 343, and in the 800s, he was officially recognized as a saint by the Eastern Catholic Church. Now, by the end of the 1400s, Nicholas was the third most beloved religious figure in the Catholic Church, and he just followed after Jesus and Mary, and that was represented in the fact that there were over 2,000 chapels and monasteries that were named after him. Again, this is how beloved that individual was in terms of the impact that he had in terms of his giving and generous nature. Now, it was really the Dutch presence in America that introduced him here. See, because basically when it came to our British roots and the English, they had actually kind of set aside Nicholas and his understanding and his role in Christmas and actually started calling the being that they celebrate in Christmas Father Christmas. And so really it was a Dutch presence here in America that introduced St. Nicholas here, but also transferred that name from St. Nicholas to Santa Claus, because with the Dutch, they pronounce St. Nicholas Sinterklaas, which became Santa Claus and eventually Santa Claus. Now, dentist Clement Moore introduced the more modern view of Santa Claus in his poem The Night Before Christmas, with, you know, Santa with his sleigh and his reindeer and so on and so forth. And that poem was written in 1822. By the 1920s, the image of Santa had been standardized to portray a bearded, overweight, jolly man dressed in a red suit, with white trim. That was, again, established in 1920. And basically, like I said, he has become kind of a rub for us as believers in terms of just what do we do with him. And I think basically when we think about how we engage with our culture, whether we're talking about Santa Claus, we're talking about music, we're talking about movies, books, whatever it might be, I think there's three ways for us to react or interact with those things as believers. And one way is to reject those things. Just out of hand to say, okay, this is something that's inconsistent with Scripture, inconsistent with what God would desire, so I just reject it. I want no part of it. There's not going to be any Santa in the house. There's going to be no Santa on the lawn. There's going to be no, you know, Santa carols that I sing, so on and so forth. You know, again, that was probably more my approach when the kids were growing up in terms of Santa Claus. But, you know, that's one means that we, again, engage with our culture just to reject it. The other way we do it is to receive it. And that is whether it be, again, music or movies, we just take it all in. In other words, we just almost, in a sense, act like the world, that we just, you know, accept every aspect and we express it in whatever way is fitting in terms of us. And so those two aspects of rejecting it and receiving it. Well, the third way to interact with the things of the world and what I would like to consider in terms of our understanding of Santa Claus is to redeem it. In other words, rather than rejecting it, rather than receiving it so we effectively become like the world, how can we redeem things? And really that word redeem means to buy it back. How do we add spiritual impact? How can we make a godly perspective expressed in those things? And I think in some ways what I mean by redeeming it, to expose how the world is using whatever it is that they're following to compensate for a God-given need without turning to God. Because ultimately, I think, when we look at Santa Claus, when we look at all that this world celebrates for Christmas, I think that's what they're doing. Effectively, they're trying to replace God. They're trying to replace Jesus. And what our role is as we communicate is, again, not to reject it, not to receive it so we become like the world, but try to redeem it so ultimately we are able to expose the greater need that a human being is expressing in whatever they're following. So how might we redeem Santa Claus? Well, I think he certainly reveals the human heart's desire to dream. The human heart's desire to think the possible is impossible. To recognize there's something greater than ourselves. You know, even though we don't believe, you know, I'm glad the kids are gone because I was a little hesitant to say that maybe there's some 5-year-olds or 4-year-olds here that still believe there's Santa Claus. But even though we don't believe it, we almost want to, don't we? We want to believe that there's some ability that someone would have to fly around the world in one night and give presents to everyone. Or at least we'd like the idea of presents being given to everyone, because at least we'd be one of them. But to think that there's that giving nature that is out there. I mean, you think about the themes that are around when you think about what the world celebrates. You know, the whole idea of peace on earth and goodwill to men. That is something that warms our heart. That's something that we connect with. You know, even the fact that part of the whole Santa Claus thing is that there's a drive to be good, right? You know, you better not pout, you better not cry, you better be, you know, you better be good. He's checking his list, naughty and nice, so on and so forth. You know, so even that compulsion to say that I want to be better, I want to do something good, is really something that is an aspect of our human nature that we find in the celebration of Christmas. That again, it's almost like it's like the symbol without the substance. You know, they have the core of what they desire, the core of what they hope for, but it's not, you know, equal or compared or involving the substance of doing that. I mean, just think again about the images and the pictures that we have in the celebration of Christmas. I mean, the images of hope, of goodwill, of transformation, oftentimes by miracle or magic, a good overcoming evil, I mean, that are found in some of the most popular tales. I mean, think about it. You know, whether it's Frosty, whether it's Rudolph, whether it's Santa Claus is coming to town, whether it's Dickens' Christmas Carol. I mean, when we have all these aspects of, again, what the world likes to hear at Christmas, what people that are outside of Christ like to think about when it's Christmas time, they like to think about people being changed. So you see, we know that the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future aren't going to visit us at night. But we want Ebenezer Scrooge to be changed. We like that he changed. We like that by some magical means, there's a transformation that comes about. You know, we know that there's no, what is it, the wicked warlock that's on the mountain of the whispering winds or whatever. But we like to think that if you put one foot in front of the other, you know, you can change from bad to good. Remember that? Put one foot in front of the other. See, you know this. See, but again, but that's the hope. That's the expectation. That's part of the world celebration of Christmas that I think effectively we can redeem. Because to the extent, again, that they're pointed to something that they wish and they hope for, but they can't attain. See, because ultimately, when it comes to humankind, they know the what of what they want. Nay, they know the why of what they want. And what they consistently come against is how. See, because when you think about even the way they communicate those things around Christmas, it's always something magical. It's something always something beyond just the normal course of things about the way things happen. Or maybe it's the thought that we can have peace on earth or goodwill towards men today. You know, on the 25th, like maybe for a season. Maybe in December I can think about being kind to people. But think about doing that all year? You know, what is very amazing to me is you'll have world wars that are happening and Christmas happens and the ceasefire. Like how does that make sense? What is it about December 25th that radically changes people's perspective, where now you have Germans on one side and Brits on the other side celebrating Christmas and doing it together, listen to each other, you know, sing carols or play carols on I mean, I've heard stories of that. I mean, tomorrow we're going to be shooting and trying to kill each other, but go away and wait a minute, it's Christmas. You know, so again, the world is trying to reach for something. I think what it's our job to do is, again, rather than rejecting it, rather than saying, no, there's no place for that in my house, rather than receiving it and saying, you know, son, I can be just like you in terms of my understanding of Santa Claus and how I celebrate Christmas and so on and so forth. No, not rejecting it, not receiving it, but how do we redeem it? How do we ultimately make the connection for them? Where ultimately they're trying to find a godly thing, but they don't have the means. See, because ultimately what Jesus provides for us, He provides the what, the why, and the how. See, when the angels came and pronounced that Jesus came to bring peace on earth, to bring goodwill towards men, He has the capacity to do that. You know, He has transformative power. That's not about magic, but it is about miracle. It is about the power of God. It's about the divine entering our lives. And what we find in terms of, you know, the world celebration of Christmas, I think ultimately those who are outside of Christ, many of them, you know, maybe the higher ups in terms of our government or maybe our economy, our business, whatever, they really hate the idea that Christmas is connected with Jesus. You know, I think if they weren't so dependent on the retail sales that happen at this time of year, they would have gotten rid of Christmas a long time ago. But now what they're trying to do is they're trying to refashion the holiday. They're trying to reset the paradigm. So now what we're celebrating isn't Christmas. We're not celebrating Jesus' birthday. We're just celebrating a season. We're celebrating, a holiday rather than Christmas. And again, I think, you know, we have to think about what do we do with that? Like, how do we redeem that? Do we try and force something on the world? Where we try to make them have the symbol without the substance? You know, to me, if you're not celebrating Christ's birthday, you shouldn't be calling it Christmas. I shouldn't be wishing you a Merry Christmas, because you're not celebrating Christmas. You're not celebrating Jesus' birthday. Whatever holiday you want to celebrate, you want to celebrate the fact that December 25th is a day off, or, you know, you want to, you know, think about that's a time where you want to give your gifts, your children presents, whatever. You know, do whatever you want, but, you know, you don't have to call it Christmas. See, to me, either the world has to call what they do is something different, or we need to call what we do is something different. That we need to radically change what our paradigm is in terms of how we, again, express the reality of what Christmas is, the substance with the symbol. You know, so I was wondering, you know, maybe we should call what we do different. You know, let them have the word Christmas, and we'll come up with a different word about what we'll call it. You know, just we know that Festivus is taken, so we wouldn't be able to call it that. I like the feats of strength and the airing out grievances. That's pretty nice too. But my whole thought behind it though is to make sure in what my celebration is of Christmas that I have symbol and substance. And to the extent that when the world is celebrating their Christmas, they don't have that, that I make that connection for them. And I was think about what you hear people say. Again, think about people wishing for peace, hoping for peace, hoping for goodwill. Well, how do you get that? How do you get there? Okay, you can bite your lip and, you know, grit your teeth and do it for a day, do it for a week. Well, we're talking about a God who offers you power to do it all the time. That you're not transformed by the virtue of ghosts that visit you at night, where you again have this revelation of conscience about how rotten you've been and now you want to change. But you have the God of the heavens willing to enter your life. You have the God of the heavens who entered the world. I mean, what's a better picture? You know, what has more lasting effect in terms of, again, the images, again, that express the symbol, they express the hope of what Christmas will be, but again, it doesn't have the substance. It doesn't have the reality. And what we have to offer the world, again, in how we try to redeem whatever their celebration is, we try to redeem it by making sure they understand that Jesus is the symbol and the substance, that Jesus is the path by which we become different, by the way we find peace, that we are able to have goodwill towards humankind. Because ultimately, when we think about just who Jesus is, when we think about all, as you know, Kelly already alluded to, all the things he sacrificed for us, you know, again, being the greatest gift that we could ever receive in terms of him. See, that is the message that is on our tongue as we celebrate Christmas, as we try and bring the world to an understanding that, you know something, there's and again, I think this goes beyond just Christmas. You know, in other words, when you're engaging with the music of the world, and you hear an artist express certain concepts or certain thoughts that is expressing something that is a God-given need. It's a God-given hope. It's something they're looking for. They're searching in terms of what they're expressing to make that connection for them. Again, I'll never listen to that music. Well, let me listen to that music and see what does Christ have to say about that. Well, what's the redemptive word that could be spoken into that situation so that ultimately, again, when the world, through their searching, through their yearning, their desiring for something greater than themselves, to point them to the one who can provide that. And so maybe the question I have for you first is, do you know that power? Do you know that person who can be the one who transforms you? Because you know something, if you have an idea of what you desire Christmas to be, the thoughts that you connect to in terms of the celebration of Christmas, are you just talking about symbol? That it's just words you speak? Yeah, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, Merry Christmas. Well, you know something, just understand, you can have the substance of Christmas, the person of Jesus. God makes him available to you today. That ultimately Jesus came to this earth. You know, again, we celebrate his birth right now, but the significance of Jesus' birth is the fact that later he would die, pay the penalty for sin. But what Jesus has done is all the work that's necessary for salvation. Now he comes to us and says, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to accept the gift that I'm giving you? You know, the picture I oftentimes like to draw is that, you know, when my children received their gifts this morning. I'm not sure many of you probably were up early just like me, just like I was, you know, because the kids didn't want to wait till after church to open their presents. But you know, when there's a gift from Molly under the tree, that gift doesn't become Molly's until she gets it, until she unwraps it. In the same way, Jesus doesn't become ours until we choose him, until we accept him. And then once we do, what the Bible tells us is that Jesus then offers us heaven. The promise of paradise with God. And not only a paradise with God for eternity, but God's presence with us here on this earth. Again, changing us, making us different, providing that real power that is ultimately transforming, not just for a day, not just for a season, but for the whole of our lives. Amen? Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we are grateful that in Jesus you do offer us the symbol and the substance, that ultimately we have the reality of all the things that we would hope for, all the things that we would desire about Christmas. We find it in your Son. And Father, we're pleased to be here to celebrate his birth, together to say, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And we truly want to communicate that message to the world, to go and tell the world all that we know about the Christ child. For anyone here that has never believed, for anyone here that has never come to the place where they understand or they never express faith in Jesus, I just want to give them an opportunity to do that. Just to know in your own words, in your own heart, in your own way, that you can say, yes, Jesus, I understand you came to die on the cross for my sins. I understand that you are the substance of what God seeks to accomplish in my life. And I believe, I accept the death he died to be the payment for my sin. All the things that would keep me from you, God, I understand Jesus has paid the price that you required for those things. And if you do that in your heart, then you can just know that God is going to be faithful to his promise to save you, to connect you with himself, and to bring you to heaven. And so, Father, we're grateful. And so, Father, as we just close our service, just continue to remind us of just the significance of what we offer the world in terms of the truth of what they can only hope for, because we have the reality. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.